Now, Carsten Janz is a man who's seen his fair share of the world. He spent 15 years with a backpack on, traipsing the globe. Then, when he got back to his hometown of Hamburg in Germany, he decided to do it all again, only this time on a bicycle. He's befriended beggars and millionaires, mourned the death of a king in Jordan, fell in love in Thailand, and suffered a stoning in Pakistan. Well, he's now pedalled into Sydney and is halfway through his epic journey to cycle round the world. Carsten, good morning to you.
Good morning, Peter.
What is it that compels you to do this?
What is it? I've always liked to do things a little differently, and just wasn't into leading a 9-to-5 life. It's been like this all my life. And the adventurous spirit, I guess.
But to do it again, having already spent 15 years backpacking, that's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, on and off, though. But I got hooked, and I can't stop anymore.
let's just examine some of these experiences during your ride.
Yeah, you did quite a nice introduction there, yeah.
Now, what about King Hussein, his death in Jordan? You were there at the time that occurred.
Yeah, I was there. And as you know, a man is built on seven hills and it's full of mosques. And once the news spread that the king had died, the shops closed immediately and the city was in mourning within minutes. And prayers were said, prayers were sung all over the city. It was like a carpet of prayers, a really emotional atmosphere. Fascinating.
How strange did it feel for you at that time to be a foreigner in the midst of all of that?
It didn't feel strange at all. The Jordanians made me feel very, very welcome. They showed me around mosques. They even tried to share this sorrow with me.
You then went on, over time, to journey on the Silk Road.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. From northern Pakistan into western China.
Through the Karakoram Highway, or the Karakoram Mountains, the pass.
That's right, the Kunjarar Pass, a 4,500-meter high pass that's leading down into Kashgar, the first settlement in western China.
No, I haven't been there, but people say that's a very amazing place.
It is amazing. It's the most amazing scenery you're going through. I mean, you're seeing 8,000 and 7,000-meter peaks along the way, and you meet all sorts of interesting people. Like, I had both. I had great friendship along that way, but I also had a bit of hatred in one certain part of that area.
What do you mean?
There was one valley that wasn't friendly. It was an area called Kohistan, and there were signs written on rocks all over the place, down with the US and things like that. And because I look Caucasian, they considered me an American. And stone throwing started badly, and I had bad things shouted at me. But once I was through this valley, I was fine. I was in the Hunza Valley, and people were amazingly friendly again, invited me into their houses. Lovely.
So you don't know the source of why you were the object of that hatred?
Anti-Western, anti-American.
But you don't know what the source of that was beyond it being anti-American?
No idea, no.
You just rode on as fast as you could get out of there.
Yeah, I tried to pedal hard, which was kind of hard because I was already in a high elevation. I was already at 3,500 meters, and you go quite slow in this thin air.
Now, being a German, you must like a beer.
I love a beer, yeah. I see what you want to talk about. Yeah, yeah. Coming through the Middle East, there's not much beer around. And I was actually dying for a beer when I got into China, into my first settlement in Kashgar. And it was amazing to knock down the first Chinese beer and seeing women again. That was lovely.
Why hadn't you seen women?
Well, you see women.
I thought they were half the world's population wherever you went.
You see women, but they're always covered and you're not really allowed to talk to them. When you get invited into houses, you're only with men. You're never in the woman's quarter. So you only see the hands of a woman reaching in food and stuff. It was nice to see women again in China.
Do you travel by yourself?
I'm by myself, yeah, most of the time. Occasionally I meet up with others, meet up with my girlfriend, stuff like that.
But you like to go solo when it comes to being out on the road?
Yeah, because it's hard to find a perfect match for you.
And I mean, the self-sufficiency that you must feel on the road must be something which is very hard to actually have in a more settled life, if you like.
What do you mean by this?
Well, I mean, if instead you seem like an unsettled person. Found as soon as you got back to Germany, you wanted to break out again.
Ah, yeah, of course. But that's kind of a fascination. It's actually the fascination to be able to lead this free spirit kind of life. And that's what it's all about. I'm under my own steam. I'm exploring the world. And it's a great feeling.
What does it do for you? I mean, that freedom, that spirit. How does it make you feel?
Yeah, it makes me feel very free. I'm leading an independent kind of life, and that makes me feel good.
What's next for you?
I'm off to New Zealand and over to Alaska, and then do the Panamericana, Alaska Fireland, probably.
How many more years?
I reckon 3 more. Only halfway through the journey.
Carsten, thank you very much indeed for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Carsten Jantz, who's finding Australia just a way station on the road. 22 minutes past 8.